This is Inner View, an inside look at the people whose music has changed our lives. Inner View is brought to you by Atlantic Records and Tapes. We'll be back with host Jim Ladd and Inner View right after this.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to part two of our interview of the band. Last week during part one, we talked primarily with Robbie Robertson in a conversation taped just before the last waltz, the band's final concert, and an historic ending to a 12-year career that gave us some of rock and roll's finest music. Now tonight, we're going to meet Rick Danko, who is the first band member to release a solo album and go back out on the road since The Last Waltz.
I come from a small country rural setting, you know, then I met up with some hard rock and roll, you know, and lived in cities, you know, and then for maybe 5 years, then I met Bob Dylan, you know, I played with Ronnie Hawkins in the band, you know. And that was likely, I mean, when we were kids, you know, I mean, people used to say to me when I was 18 years old, you know, wow, I'd be playing in a club where I was supposed to be 21, right? They said, what are you going to do when this is over with? You know, you're going to be too old to carry on like this.
What are you going to do when you grow up?
What are you going to do, you know? You know, I'll likely take up a trade and just become as bored as you. But all of a sudden, you know, hard rock and roll was, you know, you get your suits tailored by tailor, you know, who, I mean, we were carrying, you know, I have a holster for a blackjack here and a holster for a 38 here. Not that we were punks or not that, nobody was looking for trouble, man. I mean, can you imagine me or Robbie out looking for trouble?
I can't imagine you out wearing a 38 and a blackjack.
Wow, I mean, I'd walk out of a club and there'd be somebody with a gun in my head, you know, talking to me like I'm Richard Manuel or somebody. And I'd say, no, I'm Garth Hudson, you don't understand.
Look at that falling star. Yeah.
You know, but man, I mean, that was paranoia, I mean, but I got exposed to professional paranoia, man, when I met Bob Dylan. We would go and we'd play for crowds of people, half of them would cheer and half of them would boo. You know, they'd rush the stage and you didn't know who was who. I mean, I remember people diving in crowds. I mean, I was a sideman, you know, with scissors in your hand, trying to cut some hair off and all that Beatlemania stuff was happening, man. I was exposed to professional paranoia. Threats where people were going to shoot Bob because he had electric music living, you know, and I was really glad that I wasn't the drummer. It was right behind him. But you never saw 5 or 6 or 7 people move so much in all your life.
If you can try to put yourself in Rick Danko's place for a moment, you begin to realize that for someone who came straight out of a small Canadian town and one day found himself on stage as part of the Dylan band Entourage during the time when anything remotely connected with rock and roll was, well, was at the very least evil and un-American, you realize that his road has not always been easy.
I come from Canada, you know, and my father never made a lot of money. I mean, I likely, when I was 18 or 19, I was making more money than a lot of people's parents, though. Then I virtually went into just living from, you know, instead of day to day, you know, week to week, right? Yeah. And then from that, I went into living year by year, you know, and take that for granted. I mean, we were literally grossing millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know. And, you know, at one point, you know, I thought, wow, I could, you know, I didn't have to do nothing for the rest of my life. I didn't speak to anybody for about a year and a half, you know, became very bored. Fired my manager, you know, found out that I was very close to being broke, you know, came out to California, made a lot of money that year in 74, looked around, you know, and saw that California was really, you know, a one-of-a-kind city. I love it out here, man. It's this, you know, it's, a lot of it's built, you know, I mean, people retire as failures out here even, you know, 70% of it is gotta be failure. That's at least what I thought maybe 4 years ago, just after taking a quick look. You know, 30% of it is a success, and that's what takes care of the failure. So I set myself up like a failure, and now I would like to be a success, because who wants to be boring?
If your memory serves you well, we'll be right back.
What brings us to this? I mean, the band, you know, I was just talking about that a few seconds ago with someone on the phone. They were asking me about all these rumors about The Last Waltz. And it's no mystery, you know. Maybe it is, but it certainly is not to me. And I hope I don't, you know, ruin a lot of the stories by just telling the truth.
We'll hear about The Last Waltz and truth, according to Rick Danko, when interview continues. Welcome back to our interview of the band with Rick Danko. We're now about to hear Rick's view of The Last Waltz concert and the movie that is soon to be released.
That's what brings us to this. I mean, the band, you know, I was just talking about that a few seconds ago with someone on the phone. They were asking me about all these rumors about The Last Waltz. And it's no mystery, you know. Maybe it is, but it certainly is not to me. And I hope I don't, you know, ruin a lot of the stories by just telling the truth, you know.
Which is?
The lady was asking me, you know, if Bob Dylan was the one who really held it up, you know, because his film's coming out on the 25th this month and now ours put off until the 19th. And I said, oh no, that's not true at all, you know. But everything happens for the best. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still trying to put the music, you know, from the 24-track tape onto the film, which is, I mean, you lose sometimes two generations. But that is just more technical talk, you know, and most people don't understand that. But, you know, all I asked was for, you know, the people to stop gossiping, you know, and pay closer attention to the product when it comes out, because they may be surprised in our efforts, you know, that, you know, there are sincere efforts, you know, they take a little longer. I'm just sorry that the big company technology thing has to give deadlines, but I understand people are anxious, and but so are we, you know, and we can't put anything out there that's not going to be up to par, just to...
No.
I mean, what are we going to do? Go out and just, you know, settle somebody's urge because they're anxious?
Now deep in the heart of a lonely kid, suffering so much for what we did, gave this clown boy his fortune and fame. Since that day, it ain't been the same. See the man with the stage fright. When we get to the end, we want to start all over again. I've got fire, water, rain on my breath. Doctor warning, I'm catching death. Said you can make it in your disguise. Just never show the fear that's in your eyes.
Thing is, Bob really holding up you guys' film, and how responsible, and I don't know. I told the lady to tell me what she's heard, you know, because I've been involved on some other level. I've even been out on the road for a couple of months, mm-hmm. You know. She made everybody sound like monsters, you know, and I tried to show her it's some unification. The lady was asking me if being a perfectionist, and what I thought about that. And I told her that most people that I know, at least think they're perfectionists, I mean, most people that I play with, most people that I'm involved with projects with, have a lot of people helping them, be as deliberate as they are, just like I do. I have, maybe 5 or 6 different sets of teams that, you know what I'm saying? But it's simple. It sounds complicated, but it is simple. I mean, the person was saying, well, but is it true you moved $80,000 worth of equipment in of Dolby Eyes? I said, hey, this is California. She's calling from New York. This is California. I said, we have $30-40 million worth of equipment here in this little town, which the town has made available. You can rent it, So, you can put $40,000 worth of equipment in a glove compartment of your car, What do you ask?
And it sounds great, yeah.
The last waltz, we fed 5,000 people dinner, a gourmet dinner. Gave them a 40-piece Viennese waltz band to dance to digest. We turned the Winterland into a cosmic spa.
Hungry, just a valley of life.
Was there a moment there, man, where although you know it wasn't like you're saying goodbye to your friends, you're still seeing them?
I didn't think of it like that.
But I mean, was there a moment that you went, God, I mean, this thing is like no longer here, you know? I mean, did it, or was it all very nice
and
happy?
Well, I would like to believe that I was that naive, but it's not true.
Thanks, Rick. God. Well, we'll just stay away from the serious questions from now on. Yes or no, that's all I want to know.
No, but you know what I mean? It's true. I mean, I've been asked that about, you didn't see none of my shows.
Gee, I'm really sorry.
See some of the video on. You know, which is not really any type of indication either, but in February, we're going to go and we're going to do another short tour here in this country, which will just be of a different venue from what we've done. You know,
when you say we, you mean the band you're in now, right?
Well, man, my entourage is, it's just not me. I mean, there's 14 people. You know, now there's going to be 20, I'm sure, the next time I go out. That's just because it, you know, and that's nothing. I mean, most people take out 100.
Well, the latest word is that the movie of The Last Waltz will be out sometime this month, and it will be followed by a 3-record set of the music that was made that night at Winterland in San Francisco. But what's next for Rick Danko? Well, that's next on Interview. And believe me, he's not about to hang up his rock and roll shoes.
Mama, she done told me she didn't like his rock and roll. Mama, please. Mama, you just don't know how I want to hang up my rock and roll shoes. Yourself a goal, but can't we understand? I just wanna rock and roll. I don't want to hang up my rock and roll shoes. No, no, I don't want to hang up my rock and roll shoes. My feet's got a movement every time I hear the blues.
We're back again with our interview of the band and our special guest tonight, Rick Danko. So, why don't you just pour yourself a nice hot cup of coffee, kick back, and we'll find out where Rick is today and where he's going.
I stopped by a diner and the blonde behind the counter asked if she could help in any way. Nobody's gonna stop me from drinking too much.
first impression that hits you when Rick Danko walks into the room is the incredible energy output that he generates. Rick Danko is not a person who has said, well, after 18 years, I've done it, I've seen it, who needs it? To Rick Danko, making music is like an addiction, and he is a willing and grateful addict. As an example of this, he has formed his own band, released his first solo album, and is currently touring, and was kind enough to provide Interview with some specially mixed and unreleased live tracks never before heard on radio, just for you.
Well, I have my new album out, and, you know, it's something that I worked, that's a funny word, you know. I put a lot of time in my new album, you know, and I like my new album. You know, all I want to do is to get my music out to a lot of people. I think that's important. You know, the live tape here that I've played for you, you know. It's a good idea, you know. I thought it was too soon for me to put out something that was live, but that's obviously not true.
But I look to my left, look to my right, what do I see? Young girls dreaming, old ones are scheming, and call girls calling after me. What a town, what a town.
Expression from other people is as important as my expression to the people. We've been out and we've played 34 shows in 42 days, you know, and I didn't have to do that, but I did it because I wanted to see if I could do it. And I wanted to see how I was going to feel after I'd done it. Those people left an impression with their expression, and then if something was to outrageously happen any time thereafter, all those people from that point on are going to be the ones who feel responsible.
Now I'm going home, I'm all alone, I'm putting my day to an end. I've been so many places, I met so many faces, all of you people out there, my friend. What a town, what a town, what a town, what a town, what a town.
I must say to you, a compliment, you are, that you would still be this interested in this attitude and not have said that I'm going to live out in Malibu and become a drug addict and have 19 women in every night. You know what I'm saying?
But well, I've done all those things and I still live in Malibu, but, you know, the hot tub, you know, and the jacuzzi, we talked a little bit about that. If I had enough money, I'd buy everyone one, but...
So you're saying your key to self-awareness was a hot tub?
Oh, it helped, you know. Anybody's key to self-awareness, I don't know, if you make a lot of money one day, you know, the government's going to knock on your door. And then you'll have to learn what that means, you know. I've seen the government make a lot of people work just because they didn't understand the government. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I understand the government, you know, but I understand what I have to do to, you know, live with the government.
What has been your understanding at this point?
Every time I have an anxiety attack, you know, I like to jump in water that's maybe 98 degrees with machines that blow air bubbles all over me.
Brainwash. What a price to pay. Brainwash. When there ain't no other way. And when there's crossed ideas and there's twisted fear,
chosen channels of a million tears. Screams the mind night after night, and the price ain't really right. Brainwash on the road to a cosmic spa. Brainwash, they rub you and scrub you till you're raw. And when the snake oil is on the boil, the master pitch is in control. Better give it up, your hands in the air. They could not stop that flying horse. They're all bred on the wings of reason. That's the sight, the masterpiece of freedom. Brainwash.
I'm Jim Ladd, and we'll return with Rick Danko as Interview continues. Welcome back to the conclusion of our interview of the band with our special guest, Rick Danko. Before we finish tonight, I wanted to find out from Rick how Robbie, Levon, Garth, and Richard were doing after the last waltz.
So is everyone else doing good or not?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's...
I don't hear any other, you know, solo albums, so I have no idea.
Everybody's really feeling good. Richard Manuel has stopped drinking whiskey.
That's not an easy one to do.
Well, after we stopped playing, I figured he would. You know, because there would be, you know, all this time, we had all this time on our hands. You know, and he's one of my favorite singers. You know, and when he's not drinking, man, he's also a pretty funny guy. You know, I've known him for 20 years. We've been friends. Yeah, so I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot from Richard Manuel.
Good.
You know, and Garth, always stays busy, you know, as does Robbie and Levon, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it's nice to see the band has come through this long time, you know, and has themselves together. Yeah. That's good.
As soon as Richard's first album goes gold, you know, maybe we'll hold a picnic somewhere and invite some people, you know,
or when you're
play for a private party.
To all concerned.
Siren flashing light, and I
Think about troubadours in the days of Robin Hood, you know, and how they just used to minstrel their way around the land just for, you know, perhaps a little bit of gold and something to eat, you know. Well, the entertainment thing, it's taken a whole turn. I think we're moving, you know, like in the 60s, you know, somebody was telling me the other day, they were saying, oh boy, I miss the 60s, the 60s were so spectacular. I said, you're right, man, the 60s were spectacular for all of us, you know, and we were going through a big growing process. I would love to be able to say, yes, rock and roll is what's responsible for all of it, but that's not true. Rock and roll is just what sure helps us to express it, though, you know, but boy, the technology, I mean, you know, you can buy record players now that, you know, have laser finders. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm not
a few
saying
years ago that wasn't possible, you know, but it's making rock and roll better. But there's a lot of elements that are making rock and roll better. It's people's awareness and people's...
That's what it is.
Sensitivity towards the emotion, perhaps, that comes out of the lyrics and the music and the sounds, you know, I mean, you give somebody a sound, and it might irk them, and they move funny. Somebody else sees it and says, wow, that was wonderful. Let's call that a dance. Well, I'm impressed that people, you know, are that simple.
I'm gonna buy you a sheepskin coat. I'm gonna strangle. But you know we're only living in a dream. I'm gonna play this game for keeps. I'm gonna wake you softly from your sleep with a heart so warm and a love so deep. You know we're only living in a dream. Life goes round like a wheel.
Say that you've done all these things and you've been through all this number at some time in your life or youth. What I'm saying is, man, at 1978, maybe tomorrow you'll change, but right now you're not, for want of a better word, a casualty. And we've had a lot of casualties along the line, let's face it, you know. I'm looking at what pulled you through that.
Oh, man. You know, I'm sure it was myself and my friends, you know. Some kind of spiritual concept always helps. You know?
You mind talking about that?
Well, man, I don't, I mean, and that's part of my friends, you know, and, I mean, The only thing I would like to mention about God is that I don't like to blame things on God, and I really hate to see other people blame things on God. I think too many people blame things on God. They take God for granted, you know. But then they take the television set for granted, too. You know, I don't think of God like that, you know, and I don't know, it's an area I don't really like to discuss, religion or politics. You know, it's an area that I'm likely too close to, and I have to deal with it every day.
Well, that's, you know, your private business is totally yours. I'd find it interesting, though, not that we're advising anybody or saying go find God, but the fact of just putting it out in the air and people think about that for a moment rather than watch TV is just another, you know, another alternative, another book to read.
I'm sure God would be proud of you, you know, for just saying something like that.
I got a lot of other things on God's list, you know, to balance. Sure. I'd have to come up with a few more.
I'm sure everybody does, man. You know,
if he's the kind that keeps track, and I've blown it.
Moment he starts getting back to you, you know you're in trouble. Excuse me, God.
I got what was happening with the new group and what was happening with the band. Is there anything that we didn't do?
Yeah, where are you from?
Where am I? Well, that doesn't matter.
Oh, it does to me. I mean, you asked me where I was from, or you didn't, man. I'm from Simcoe, Ontario, Canada, but I haven't lived there in a long time. But where did you spend your younger years?
Well, I'm a native Californian.
That's what you're telling me. It's not important.
Right? Well, no, it's okay. Just not important on the tape. So I'd love to tell you when to turn the tape.
Are you kidding, man? I mean, you told me about all these stations, you know, and they're going to be hearing you talk. No, man, don't sell yourself short.
Let me turn that up a little and have you say that again. Well, I was born down here and moved to San Francisco at a young... Anyway.
Well, I think I better stop here, or I'll just ramble on for days. You know, one aspect of both Robbie Robertson and Rick Danko that I found painfully obvious while doing both part one and two of this interview with the band is just how poorly they are able to take any form of compliment. Now, I tried several times with both of them to express how much the band's music has meant to me, and I'm sure countless other people. But the conversation would immediately turn away from that subject. And so I finally came to the conclusion that they know and they care. But confronting that is not something that is comfortable for them. So I think I'll just play one more song and say goodnight. Special thanks for tonight's show go to both Ellen White and Patty Wright of Arista Records for all of their help and kindness. Also, my thanks to Jack Morris, partner and friend, and to Robbie Carroll and Lindsay Guerrero of Interview Incorporated. I hope you hear us next week, same time, same frequency, for Interview. I'm Jim Ladd.
This has been another Interview, brought to you by Atlantic Records and Tapes. Interview is written by Jim Ladd, produced and engineered by Bill Levy at Filmways Recording Studios in Hollywood. With special thanks to Mark Schulman and Tony Mandich of Atlantic Records. Interview, another new concept in radio.